This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
Understanding the severity of God, the joined to the Lord will never be cut off. Now, to some it may seem a little foreign. To some it may seem, well, I'm familiar with that. I have my certain views and opinions about that. But regardless of where you are at with the aspect of the severity of God, number one, it's there, it's real. Number two, there's much misunderstanding and erroneous teaching about it. And I'm not saying we know it all, but we're getting there. We've left. And also, there is so much fear, condemnation, manipulation, and control. It is actually probably one of the most abused aspects of the gospel, if you will, when it comes to the believers. And so we want to understand, what is the severity of God? Why is God severe? And also, why is it that so often it is mistaught? Now, and that's why the subtitle says, the joint to the Lord will never be cut off, because I want to make sure that you understand. We're going to explore the subject today. We're going to see from Scripture what it means. But also, underlying there, all that, I want you to understand, it doesn't alter or change gospel truth, because the joined to the Lord will never be cut off, which is what the severity of God is often linked to. And in essence, that's what it means. Because to sever means to cut off. Isn't that so? So when we say the severity of God, we're saying the cutting off of God. So there are many doctrines out there in Christendom, you know, who say that God does cut certain people off. He will cut certain people off. He will just let them go. He'll let those branches just fall off, or he'll cut them off. He'll prune the tree. And there it is. You know, he's just going to get rid of people. And so that is not the heart of God. God loved the world that he gave. Amen. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves people. The last thing on his heart, if at all in his heart, which really it's not, is to cut anyone off. That's not his heart. That's not where he's at. Now, religion and legalism will tell you that God does eventually cut off. He does eventually lose patience. He does eventually get fed up with some people, and so he'll cut them off. But that's their interpretation, their opinion. That's not gospel truth, and that is not what God has to say. Now, you may be well established in your salvation, and you may say, well, yeah, I understand that, but I think I understand the gospel. Well, good. But this will help you solidify that truth, but also it will help you minister to others. Because remember, part of the reason why we teach and we enjoy God's word is not only for us to be fed, for us to know more about God and who we are and what we have in Jesus, but it's also so that we can reach out and bless others with what we receive from God. And sadly, there are people out there who think that God will eventually cut them off, that God will eventually get fed up with them, and he'll cut them off. And you know, in truth, when I think about in my teen years, you know, as a teenager, and I wasn't a bad teenager, I didn't get up to mischief. I mean, I did do certain things, but nowhere near to terrible, horrible things. But I was still naughty sometimes. And so, you know, there was a time when I wasn't really focused on God. I wasn't, and of course, I heard a lot of legalistic teaching. I was in that environment, so there was a lot of mixture of law and grace. So I carried all this guilt, shame, and condemnation, because every time I went to church, and it was a charismatic church, you know, but because they preach a mixture of law and grace, I feel like I got a whipping and then a pat afterwards to say it's okay. But I walked away being grateful that God saved me. But I felt like a dirty dog oftentimes, because I just felt like I never measured up. And I always felt, and you know, the undertone was always just stay in the straight and narrow, because if you don't, you're going to be cut off. And so I know what it's like to be in that situation. And so this is one of the reasons why, again, we want to study the subject. So when we talk about the severity of God, the assumption is that of being cut off by God. That's what most people who see it that way, that's what they say. And generally, it is because one fails to live up to God's standard. They fail to work hard for God. They fail to perform. They fail to keep His commandments like they should. And so eventually, God says, I think we're done. I think you're done. That's the view that traditionally is out there in mainstream Christianity. So the thought is that if one works hard and keeps God's commandments, he or she then avoids being cut off from God. Well, can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine God sending His Son Jesus, and He goes through all this torture, this punishment, this horrible, horrible treatment. He ends up crucified on a cross, and He dies, and He gives up His spirit, and He dies this cruel death to redeem us, all which can just be forfeited by a technicality of our merit and performance. I mean, that doesn't make sense. That means that whatever we do that would cause us to get cut off, that would cause God to sever us, is greater than Jesus and the finished work of the cross. How can that be? It makes no sense, does it? But yet, that's what we hear. So that's why we want to explore it and we're going to study it. So here's the verse or the portion of scripture that generally this is based on. Romans chapter 11, verses 22, reading from the King James. It says there, this is Paul writing inspired by the Holy Spirit, obviously. He says here, now, this is, remember, this is the basis of that kind of teaching. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. So Paul says, God is good, but He's also severe. So there's the goodness of God, and there's also the severity of God. So we cannot say God is not severe. God doesn't have severity. Paul just said He does. So he says, behold the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. So those who fall or fall away, apparently, severity. So God is severe with them and He just cuts them off. But toward thee, now we're going to assume that He's talking to believers, and I'll show you that He actually is not in a moment. But toward thee, goodness. If thou, so in other words, watch this. Oh, let's read the whole thing. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. I mean, it's in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and Paul, the great apostle who got the revelation of the gospel of grace, as he calls it. And yet he says, yeah, that God is good, but He's also severe. And those who fall, He's severe. In other words, He cuts them off. And those who are receiving His goodness, if they continue in His goodness, then He won't be severe with them. Otherwise, if they stop, then He'll cut them off too. I mean, that sounds harsh, but that's what a lot of these doctrines are based on. And so we need to seek to understand what is it exactly that Paul is saying here? What is he revealing, and how do we understand and make sense of the severity of God with the love of God, with the grace of God, with the mercy of God? Amen. And so one thing that I want to draw your attention to in that verse, as you will see, notice that the word His, H-I-S, it says, if thou continue in His goodness. That word His, notice, is in italics, which means that it's not in the original, right? So really, it should read, if you continue in goodness. Now, there again is where it leads people to think that it's talking about continuing in goodness. In other words, continuing in doing good. And so that's why they take all these interpretations from it. Because if you take away His, it does seem like it's saying, if you continue in goodness, in other words, in doing good. You see, if you have a legalistic way of reading Scripture, or you know, with a mixture of law and grace, that's how you're going to read it. So if you continue doing good, then you will not be cut off, which is exactly what most people have a tendency to do. And so they say, see, so there it is. There's the point. God cuts off those who don't keep doing good. And, you know, anyone who doesn't stay doing good will also be cut off. So the point is that it makes it now a legalistic, conditional aspect. And that's what they say is the severity of God. So at face value, it seems to say that God will cut off anyone who doesn't measure up, anyone who doesn't keep on doing good. But that's not what this is saying. And I'll show you that now. You know, his severity, if you read it like that, it seems to be saying that his severity literally severs, literally cuts us off. But that's not what it's saying. So we're going to look at it again, and I want to show you this time some specific things on it. So let's move on from there and let's go to the next one. Watch this now. Same verse, and I'm going to show you specific things to help us understand this. Romans 11, verse 22. Watch this. Now, I've emboldened specific words. Watch this, because now we're going to understand it. He says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, watch this, on them which fell. So it's a past tense thing. And it's a group of people that he's talking about. Not specific individuals, as you can see. Severity. But toward thee, there's another group of people. Goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. And I believe the translators did a good job putting that his in there. Because if you look at the context, it's talking about God's goodness. It's not talking about general goodness. In his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Okay? So the first thing that I want to point out to you here, and that we need to realize and understand about this portion here, is that Paul is talking about two groups of people and not specific individual believers. That's key to understand. Did you hear what I said? He's talking about two specific groups of people, but he's not talking about specific individual believers. That's what we see from this here. He says them and thee. Now, most people have a tendency to assume, well, the thee has to be the believers then. But he doesn't say so. And I'm going to show you that now. So, who are these people that he's talking about? Well, in the same chapter, if we go to verse 1, watch what he says there. And this shows us who those groups of people are. I say then, hath God cast away, he's talking about the same severity, the same cutoff aspect. I said, has God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So you can see from this that the first group of people that he's talking about, which is the them, he's talking about the Jewish people, those specifically who were under the law. And you'll see in context that's the case here. But you can see that he's talking about the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. Are you with me? So that's the first group of people. And then in verse 13 of the same chapter, watch what he says. For I speak to you, Gentiles. Notice he doesn't say Gentile believers. He says Gentiles. Just like he said, the nation of Israel. He says, now I'm talking to you, Gentiles. In other words, all Gentiles. Saved, unsaved, wherever they're at. He's speaking to all Gentiles. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So notice, based on those two verses we've seen in the same chapter, so remember, you've got to see everything in context. You've got to let the Bible interpret the Bible, and you've got to look at everything through the lens of the finished work of the cross. And so that's what we are doing here. And so notice that when he said them, he was referring to the Jewish people, to the Jewish nation as a whole. And when he said thee or you, he's referring to the Gentiles because he's speaking to a Gentile audience, but all kinds of Gentiles, saved, unsaved. So those are the two groups of people. This shows us here so far that he's not referring to specific individual believers. Even though the Gentiles had the grace of God extended to them, but he's not assuming that they're all saved yet. He's speaking about those two groups of people. So now, let's take a look at Romans 11:22 again here. And I want to point something else out to you, which I already have in some way, but I want to say some more things about it. He says, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them. Now, you know, that's talking about the Jewish nation, the Jews, which fell severity. Which fell from what? From the goodness of God. But toward thee, goodness. In other words, God is extending goodness to you Gentiles. Then he says, if you continue, the you is the Gentiles. So Gentiles, if you continue in God's goodness, because that's the context of that, the immediate context of that verse, if you continue in God's goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. So you can see that he is not speaking just to born again believing Gentiles. I know some translations unfortunately add that, specifically, you know, the Amplified, I know, does that and makes that error. But from in the context here, and based on what I've shown you so far, you can see that Paul is not singling out believers, whether they are Jewish, from Jewish descent, or whether they are Gentile. He's just speaking about those groups of people in general. And, you know, the Gentiles happen to be getting a revelation of the goodness of God and be living in it. But he doesn't know who's saved, who's not saved. And so in general, he says to them, you need to continue in God's goodness, not your own goodness, not the goodness that those under the law are telling you to have, because they fell because of it. You need to continue in God's goodness. Otherwise, if you don't, you'll be cut off, meaning that you will experience the same consequence as the Jewish people did. You can see that he's talking outside of salvation here. He's talking about just the receiving the general goodness of God, either as Jew or Gentile. You see that? And so even though that word his should not is not in the original, you can see that looking at the immediate context, it's safe to conclude that it's talking about God's goodness and not our own. Can you see that? So you can't say us doing good. No, this whole thing here, the immediate context of that whole verse, is about God's goodness. Are you with me? It does not say that God is good on those who are good and severe on those who are not good. Look at it again. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't say God is severe on those who are not good and he is good on those who are good. That's not what it's saying. It says that God is good on those who continue in his goodness and severe on those who don't. Does that make sense? Think of my goodness. My goodness is there. It is there for my family to enjoy. But if any of them decided not to enjoy my goodness and live by their own goodness, by doing that, what are they doing? They're rejecting my goodness. Therefore, they are cutting themselves off from my goodness. I'm not the one doing it to them, but by their actions, by trusting and depending on their own goodness, they are cutting themselves off from my goodness. And if my goodness is superior, they're missing out. That's the point that Paul is conveying to us here, to the Romans, to us. Are you with me? So, in actual fact, they are cut off from his goodness because they chose or they choose to continue in their own goodness. That's why they fell. And you and I know the Old Covenant. We know the Old Testament. We see enough. The people reject God's goodness because they think they can live up to their own goodness and God must accept their own goodness and thus be good to them because of their own goodness. And God says, no, either you live in my goodness or you don't live in it at all, because then you're living in your goodness. And then Paul uses that to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And he says, you need to do the same thing. Learn to depend and trust in God's goodness and live in God's goodness. And don't let anything rub off on you where you think now your goodness plays a role in living in God's goodness. Does that make sense? I mean, that's pretty powerful. So they're not cut off from God himself, but from his goodness. That's another key aspect we need to understand about the severity of God, right? So really, you could say it's not really the severity of God, but it's more what we experience because of what we choose in terms of goodness. And that is known as the severity of God. And that's what Paul was talking about. So now, let's look at the surrounding context of that portion, which will actually help us understand the greater picture and back up and clarify what I've shared with you so far. So Romans 11, let's begin with verse 16, and we're going to go through all the way down to verse 24. Now we're reading this one from the Amplified Classic translation, which really I've looked at many translations, and it said, and even this one, but this one's probably the most accurate as far as bringing the actual truth across. So verse 16, now if the first handful of dough offered as the first fruits, that's Abraham and the patriarchs, is consecrated holy, so is the whole mass, the nation of Israel. And if the root, Abraham, is consecrated holy, so are the branches. So you know that that's making a reference to the covenant that God made with Abraham. In actual fact, God entered into a covenant with himself, and Abraham was the beneficiary. And today in Jesus, we are beneficiaries of that covenant. But what he's saying is that because Abraham believed, he was declared righteous and entered into covenant with God. And he says, because he was the first one, the first Jew, if you will, the first of the nation of Israel, then everyone else, all these descendants after him, his natural descendants, in other words, the nation of Israel, which are referred to here as branches, and Abraham is referred to as the root, he says, they all are beneficiaries of what happened with Abraham. So we understand it. But now, here's why he's mentioning this. He is using the analogy of an olive tree to describe the Jewish people as the branches and help us understand the truth about the goodness and severity of God. Okay, so bear that in mind. Verse 17. But if some of the branches, now you know that's talking about the nation of Israel, but if some of the branches were broken off, one translation says cut off, another translation implies the severing, which is what it's talking about. But if some of the prune is the word that is used, you'll see it in a moment. But if some of the branches were broken off, talking about the nation of Israel, while you, a wild olive shoot, the you is the Gentiles, as you know, I've shown you that from the chapter. Those are the two groups of people he's talking about. While you Gentiles, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share the riches of the root and sap of the olive tree. In other words, he's now making a reference to those Gentiles who had received salvation in Jesus, and he's saying, you've had the wonderful privilege and pleasure of being grafted in to that lineage, and so you get to benefit the same benefits of Abraham as the natural descendants of Abraham do, the nation of Israel. Okay, so now remember, he's talking about these two groups of people, Jew and Gentile. And here he says that some of the Jewish people were broken off or cut off. Clearly, it is because they chose to trust in their own goodness instead of God's goodness. Because remember, that's the greater context of verse 22. And that's what he's referring to. So let's continue now in verse 18. Do not boast. Now he's talking to the Gentiles who have realized about the goodness of God and how good God actually is. He says, do not, it doesn't mean that they were believers. They just realized about the goodness of God as a people. Do not boast over the branches and pride yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember, it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. Apparently, some of these Gentile people, when they realize that God is good, not just to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentile people in general, saved or unsaved, and they did, and the people of the world, now you know yourself, God is good to some ungodly people that we know. And so these Gentile people realized the goodness of God, or learned about the goodness of God. And so they were walking around now boasting and bragging and trying to elevate themselves above the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. And Paul says to them here, don't do that. Even though some of them were cut off, don't go and get proudful around them. Don't go and rub it in their face and belittle them. Because if you do, and you try and do this, don't forget that you draw that from the root Abraham, which God provided, not from yourself. In other words, be humble about it. Don't be proud about it. And you know, in those times in society, you know yourself, there was a divide between the two. And the Jewish people, because they, you know, they were God's initial chosen, they felt like, well, you know, we have superior. And so now the Gentiles realize that they can become chosen, that goodness is there also for them. So now they're trying to elevate themselves above them and reverse the whole thing. And he says, no, don't do it. Sounds much like what goes on in our country today, isn't it? But anyway, so now you see, this is what's going on here. So in other words, what Paul is saying is that you as Gentile people should never assume that you are in a better place than the Jewish people, just because you've come to realize something that they haven't, which is God is good outside of your merit and performance. That's what he's saying to them. Let's continue in verse 19. Now watch, he's talking to the Gentiles again. He says, you Gentiles will say then, remember he's talking to the group of people, Gentiles, saved and unsaved, all of them. You Gentiles will say then, branches, the nation of Israel, were broken, pruned off, so that I might be grafted in. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me preaching, going around and saying, you know, I feel for the Jewish people because they just don't realize about Jesus, but God actually did that so that he can put me in their place and elevate me. Most of you would switch off right there and then and say, see you later. We don't like doing that to anyone. But yet, this is what these people were doing. And so Paul is bringing that back to the level it needs to be to help them realize that they need the grace and mercy and goodness of God as much as anyone else does, including the Jewish nation. Then in verse 20, he says, that is true. In other words, yes, some of them were pruned to make room for you, if you will. He says, that's true. But remember, this was by their choice, not by God's design. But they were broken, watch this, pruned off, here it is, because of their unbelief. Now remember, having read verse 22 and looked at the context, unbelief in what? In the goodness of God. So in other words, remember, the Jewish people were living under the law. They prided themselves by living under the law, even though they could never fulfill it and live up to it. But they felt like, you know, and so you know how the law goes. The law is about your goodness. You do good, you're blessed. You don't do good, you're cursed. And so they prided themselves in the fact that they could manage the blessing and favor of God by their goodness. And so here he says, that is true that some of them were cut off, but they were cut off because they didn't believe, not because God cut them off. And what did they not believe in? The goodness of God, because they were more confident in their own goodness. I hope you're hearing the message for us, all of us here today. You see, their lack of real faith, it says, and you are established through faith because you do believe. Now he's talking about the fact that these Gentiles believe in the goodness of God. He's not assuming that they're all born again. So do not become proud and conceited. See, a born-again person won't do that. That's why he's addressing the whole group of Gentiles. But rather, stand in awe and be reverently afraid. See, he's bringing them down to earth level, and he's saying to them, you think you have the upper hand on the Jewish nation because you've come to realize about the goodness of God and you believe in that goodness. He says, but be humble about it. Don't get proud about it, because God, ultimately, it's not going to impress God. So don't assume that God intentionally cut the Jewish people off to make room for you. That's what he's saying. Because you think you are such hot stuff. He says, no. He says, the room they left by cutting themselves off from God's goodness was made available to you. That's one way you can put it. Are you with me? That's why he says, be humble about it. You've got nothing to brag about, nothing to try and elevate yourself over them. In honest, you should be glad that this was made available to you because of the choice of unbelief that they made. Verse 21, notice, this is, remember, this is the context. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of their unbelief, unbelief in what? In God's goodness, neither will he spare you, talking to the Gentiles, if you are guilty of the same offense. Clearly, he is not talking about Gentile believers only, because if you look at the security of the believer and redemption in Jesus once for all, he couldn't possibly be talking to Gentile believers. He's talking to all Gentiles because they had grasped this truth. And so he says here, God didn't spare the nation of Israel because they chose not to believe and trust in God's goodness. And he says, the same thing can happen to you if you begin to start trusting and believing in your own goodness, which you seem to be trying already by elevating yourself above someone else. The same thing is going to happen to you. So the point here so far is that if we, understanding that God is good and his goodness, if we decide to relate to him on the basis of our goodness, then guess what happens? We are basically saying, no, God, your goodness is not good enough for me. My goodness is what works, and you should be impressed by my goodness, which should cause your goodness to be good to me because of my goodness. So really, at the end of the day, it's me. And that's why they get cut off. Are you with me? It's like the example that I gave you about my goodness and my family. That's what he's saying. So you can see that Paul is still talking about the two groups of people, the Jew and Gentile, and not specific individual believers. Remember that. And he tells the Gentiles, if you get into unbelief about the goodness of God, as the Jewish people did, you too will be pruned off. You too will be pruned. You too will be cut off. Not by God, by you putting your trust and confidence in your goodness. Are you with me? Now we get to verse 22. Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and severity of God. See that? He says, now appreciate it, because now you understand it. Severity toward those who have fallen. Fallen from what? God's goodness, through their unbelief. But God's gracious kindness to you, watch this, provided you continue in his grace and abide in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off, pruned away. So what he is saying is that you as a Gentile people, if you don't continue in God's goodness and begin to put trust and confidence in your own goodness, you're going to experience the same fate. It's not going to benefit you at all. God's goodness is not going to benefit you. And that is what we understand as the severity of God. That's what he describes here as the severity of God. Let's look at the same verse 22 for a moment there before we continue with the context from the King James again, because I want to show you that again, this is about the goodness of God. Watch this. Look at the immediate context of this verse alone. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. So this is about goodness, right? On them which fell from what? The goodness of God, severity. See? But toward thee, that's the Gentiles, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off. So you can see the whole premise of this is about understanding and being in the goodness of God and never flipping over into our own goodness or making the assumption that our goodness somehow is going to impress God. Now, I'm not saying don't be good. You know, the goodness of God causes us to be good. But if our confidence is in our goodness first before God's goodness, that's where we, by our doing, disconnect ourselves from the goodness of God. And in the case of the unsaved, they get severed. They get cut off. That's what he's saying. So the cutting of the pruning has to do with God's goodness, as you can see. The real issue here is trusting in God's goodness and not our own, or trusting in God's goodness instead of our own goodness. Are you with me? Remember, he's talking about the two groups of people, not individual believers, or I'm going to jump out here and prove it to you. He's not talking about individual believers. He's also not talking about the church. He's talking about all Jews, all Gentiles. You may say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me show you someone else who agrees with me. The Believer's Bible Commentary, about verse 22. Look at what it says here. Clear. And these are great Bible scholars that put this together. Let's have that on the screen. Watch this. This is the Bible Believers, the Believer's Bible Commentary on Romans 11, 22. Look at what they say. It must be constantly borne in mind that Paul is not speaking of the church or of individual believers. He is speaking about the Gentiles as such. Nothing can ever separate the body of Christ from the head, and nothing can separate a believer from the love of God. But the Gentile peoples can be removed from their present position of special privilege. You see, God's goodness has been extended to all, for God so loved the world. So His goodness is made available to all, Jew and Gentile. And so that's the aspect of what Paul is addressing here. So you can see from this that this is not addressed to individual believers or believers in general or the church, because otherwise it contradicts the gospel and the gospel truth, and it almost negates from Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Are you with me? All right, so let's continue now with the context in verse 23, Romans 11. And even those others, the fallen branches, Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, watch this, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. Oh Lord, we are so grateful for His goodness. Notice, even though by their unbelief, they refused to continue in the goodness of God and put their trust and confidence in their own goodness as a result of their law keeping, He says, even them, once they've been cut off, if they turn away from holding on to their own goodness and believe again in My goodness, He says, I will graft them in again. That doesn't sound like He's out to send anyone to hell or anywhere else. Why? Because that's the heart of God. He is not a severing God. He's not going to cut anyone off. Amen. So notice, there is mercy and grace even for the unbelieving, if and when they have a change of mind, because ultimately He respects freedom of choice. So in other words, they put their trust in God's goodness instead of their own. And that's why He says, if they change that and go, come back to My goodness, then I will graft them in again. I know I'm repeating a lot of stuff because I know that that's how we internalize something and we really grasp the truth. Now, here we come to the last verse of our context, verse 24. Notice, He's talking about the Gentiles and then later on the Jewish people. Watch this. For if you, Gentiles as a whole, have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and against nature grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches, the Jewish people, back on the original parent stock of their own olive tree? In other words, even though they blatantly rejected being in My goodness and turned to their own goodness, thus causing them to not believe in My goodness, if they have a change of mind, if they repent and they come back, He says, you Gentiles, I've grafted in and I've extended the opportunity to you who were not from the same olive tree, and yet I'm able to graft you in. How much easier will it be for Me to graft back branches that are from the original tree? That's what He's saying. In other words, at the end of the day, if God can do the miraculous with Gentiles, then He will do the same for the Jewish people. That's what He's saying. When they put their trust and confidence in His goodness. Praise God. I trust that you see that Romans 11 verse 22 is not about God cutting anyone off who doesn't work hard for Him and doesn't keep His commandments. That's, you can see from this, as we've looked at it, it is far from that. It has nothing to do with that in actual fact. I trust that you see that it is about putting our trust and confidence in God, in His goodness, instead of our own. Amen. You see, God is not out to cut anyone off from Himself. And by trusting in our own goodness, we, in essence, cut ourselves off from His goodness. Because what we are saying is, my goodness is greater than your goodness. My goodness can impress your goodness, which will affect your goodness to flow in my life because my goodness kickstarted it. I mean, that just sounds defiant, doesn't it? That just sounds ungodly. And that's exactly what it is. That's why it has that effect. Amen. Now, again, from the same chapter, look at verse 1, just to back some of this stuff up as we come to an ending here. He says here in verse 1, I ask then. Notice he says ask. It's in capitals. He didn't say I ask. It says I ask then. Has God totally rejected and disowned His people? Talking about the Jewish people. Of course not. Why? I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. So what Paul is saying is that even though the nation as a whole in general rejected being in the goodness of God by their unbelief, he says there were some individuals like me, Paul says, who were able to tap in and receive salvation. So even that shows you that God is not out to cut anyone off. Amen. Especially on the basis of their merit and performance. No. Then look at the same chapter, Romans 11, verse 5 and 6, and this time from the Passion Translation. It says, and that is but one example. Remember, this is all part of the same context here. And that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers His chosen remnant, talking about the Jewish people. And since it is by God's grace, it can't be a matter of their good works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift of grace, but earned by human effort. So in the same context, he's saying, there is no ways that you can earn and deserve God's goodness. It is by grace. Because by grace, it's a gift. Otherwise, if you earn or deserve it, it's a reward. And that's not how God's grace works. Amen. You see, God cannot be good to us on the basis of our goodness. Otherwise, it is really our goodness that causes God to be good to us. And that's never going to be the case. Do you hear that? You see, that kind of mentality causes unbelief, which disconnects us from God's goodness, which is what we say, or Paul said, is the severity of God. So really, it's not the fact that God is severe or severs anyone. It is the result of our unbelief and staying in His goodness. Amen. Then look at verse 11 from the Amplified Classic here, talking about the Jewish people. Watch this. So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall to their utter spiritual ruin irretrievably? In other words, are they lost forever? He says, by no means. But through their false step and transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to arouse Israel to see and feel what they forfeited, and so to make them jealous. Do you realize that God, His grace and His wonderful gospel and revelation is extended to us who are Gentiles because He loves us, but also we serve as trophies of His grace and goodness to make the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, jealous and realize what they've actually forfeited by trusting in their own goodness. Praise God. You can see God's heart in this whole chapter, in this whole thing. He's not out. The last thing He wants to do is cut anyone off. You see, God is more interested in grafting in than He is in cutting off. God is love, and He loves people. Amen. God's heart is for people, not legalistic or religious technicalities. Amen. And He loves it when we put our total trust and confidence in His goodness instead of our own. And I want to encourage you, when we're done here today, tomorrow, the next day, and from hereafter, wake up and say, Father, Not only are your mercies new every morning, but I live in your goodness. Today, my Father, I am going to just live in your goodness. Your goodness causes me to be good, and I'm good because it honors you and I love you, but I'm not depending on that. Your goodness is everywhere. I am walking in your goodness. I am living in your goodness. And I'm just going to see the manifestation of your goodness and your favor, because that's where my trust is in. That is where I'm grafted. Pretty awesome. Amen. Ephesians 2 verse 7 from the Passion Translation. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. We are to be trophies of His grace, kindness, one translation says, goodness. Amen. You see, to continue in God's goodness, based on what we see here, is to continue in God's grace. Amen. To continue in God's kindness is to continue in God's grace. And that's what He wants. You see, God is never out to cut anyone off on the basis of their merit and performance. Otherwise, in truth, we would all be cut off. Because none of us, there's none righteous, not one. We all fall in short. Amen. So it makes no sense to interpret that this way, that way. Now look at John 10 verse 28 from the Amplified Translation. And I give them eternal life, says Jesus, and they will never, won't you say never? They will never, ever, say never, ever. Come on, some of you are not saying it. They will never, ever, this is for you, by any means perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. What is He saying? They cannot be cut off because they are sealed with the blood of Jesus. They are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and I love them. And I'm not going to cut them off based on technicalities or anything like that. So really, He was speaking to the general nation of Israel, the Jewish people, the general population of Gentiles. But when it comes to the believer, they live in His goodness, and God, by His grace, will keep us in His goodness. You see, we are saved and kept by grace. We cannot lose our salvation. Can we reject it? Yes, we can. But who in the right mind would do that? Amen. We cannot lose our salvation. No one who understands the truth about God's goodness would ever choose to rely on their own goodness instead. Isn't that so? Make a commitment today, if you haven't already. Today, up to today, is the last day that I will ever rely on my own goodness to experience and enjoy the blessing and favor of God. From this day forward, I will rely on His goodness, and I rely on His goodness. Whenever we face anything, we're going to rely on His goodness, not our own. Amen. See, that's the heart of this whole passage here, and about the severity of God, if you will. Amen. Let's end off with this one. I know I said that a few times. Remember, I'm the preacher that has a few landings. So this is the final landing here. We circle around the airport first a few times, make sure everything's clear, and your heart is settled, gospel truth is in there, and then we come in for a landing. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:17 from the Amplified Translation. He says, but the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. So if you receive salvation in Jesus, then this is talking about you. You are united and you are joined to the Lord, and you are one spirit with Him. So you're not an entity on the outside, you're one with Him. You're being grafted in completely and totally. So, Jesus is never going to amputate His own body, is He? Just the thought sounds crazy. Why would anyone think that the severity of God, or the cutting off of God, or that God will cut people off? You see, it's a misunderstanding based on a mixture of law and grace and just not reading everything in context and so forth. Jesus will never amputate His own body. He is never going to cut you off. That's a fact. Amen. We are eternally committed to Him and He to us. Can I hear an amen from someone?
We trust you were blessed by this message. For more resources and to support our ministry, please go to redemptioninjesus.com.